Welcome to The Laundry Hour, a podcast encouraging stay-at-home moms to fulfill their God-given and extraordinary purpose in their seemingly ordinary lives. I'm your host, Jamie Williams. Hey ladies, welcome to another episode of The Laundry Hour. I hope you all are having a wonderful Monday, or whatever day you're listening to this. If you are new to The Laundry Hour, thank you so much for stopping by. I hope that you will leave encouraged to follow Jesus even more in whatever he's calling you specifically to do in your specific area of life. If you have been with me for a while, thank you for staying here, because I know that I'm a little crazy, but hopefully crazy in a good way. So for the month of June, we are going to talk about loving your children. Since the beginning of this year, I have been talking basically about love. That's it. Loving the Lord with all of our heart, soul, and strength. Loving our neighbor as ourself. I'm trying to go off of memory here. Loving our enemies like God loves his enemies, and loving like Jesus has loved us. We also dove into that very deeply, how that looks in our lives. We've discussed recently how to love our husbands. Prior to that, just loving people and like figuring out how to love them based off love languages, but then also based off how to die to ourselves too. And so right now we are talking about loving your children. And if you have been with me for a while, you will know that I have talked about this before. You can look back at season 1, episodes 21 and 22. I talk about train up a child in the way that you should go, and the fact that we are supposed to love our children. And you can also look back at season 3, which is this current season, episode 17, so just a few weeks ago, where I talked about a work grace paradox. Because in Titus 2, it says that to the older women, and though I'm not technically an older woman, I'm sure I'm older than somebody, but I'm just trying to study and allowing you to come along with me. But that specific verse is commanding older women to teach the younger women how to love their husbands and love their children, which is why we talked about loving your husbands last month, and now we're talking about loving your children. But I wanted to bring up this work grace paradox because I want to make sure that we understand that, yes, we are supposed to be trained, we are supposed to work hard at learning how to love our children, just like our children are supposed to be trained in the way that they should go. So there is a work that happens on their part. There's a work that happens on our part. But all of that work happens by grace, through grace, because of grace. Like, we can't actually do what God has called us to do without him. So that's important for us to remember as we continue talking about how to love and how to basically truly do what we've been commanded to do. Like, all of the law falls into loving God and loving others. And if we break down loving others, we can say it's your neighbor, your enemy, one another, one another specifically meaning like the body of Christ, but loving your husband, loving your children. And how do I do all of those things? Like, you have commanded me to do so, and you've also given me specific instructions of how I'm supposed to do that. For example, Ephesians 6:4, it specifically says father, but we know that that also means parent. My father and mother, don't provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So we're not supposed to provoke them to anger, which, you know, why? That's not loving to make anyone angry by what we're doing or what we're saying. But it's interesting because sometimes people will be angry about discipline and instruction, but my goal is not to make you angry. My goal is to bring you up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. We have been commanded to do that. And it's interesting because instruction, we get a lot of instruction, we get a lot of discipline, we get a lot of wisdom from the book of Proverbs, which is considered wisdom literature. And I learned this recently, and maybe this isn't new to you, but wisdom isn't just knowledge. It's knowledge that's been applied. So, you know how people say, like, wisdom comes with age? Now, I think with age, lots of people gain knowledge, but not necessarily wisdom, because just because you know something doesn't mean you have applied it. I know that to be true in my life. Anybody else? I hope that we will be wise, not just knowledgeable because of experience or stuff. Sorry, that was our dryer, if you heard that. But that we would truly be wise because we know things and we have applied them to our life. Meaning, then we have, you know, the ability to actually say something to someone. Hopefully when we are an older woman, we have a wisdom to share with the younger women because we actually applied this knowledge that we've learned about how to love our husbands and love our children. So the book of Proverbs talks about a lot of things, and it's pretty great. I did a whole Proverbs series now that I'm remembering, so maybe, I think it's season two, I don't know, it might be season one, but I did a whole Proverbs series if you want to go back and listen to that too. But anyways, the most important thing I think we can take away from Proverbs is the fear of the Lord, which would be the most important thing that we can teach and train our children in. I love also that Proverbs is written from a parent to a child. Like, my son, hear my voice, listen to me. Like, he is begging his son, like, I want you to live a good life, but you've gotta listen to me. That book is full of instruction and discipline and advice on how to live a good life. And he says, chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Like, I want you to be knowledgeable. I want you to do well. I want this for you. I want that for you. All of these things. But for you to even begin being knowledgeable, you must fear the Lord. Because fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, Ephesians 6:4, parents are supposed to bring up their children in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Our desire is not to create fools. Our desire is to create wise children. We must give them wisdom. We must give them instruction. But specifically, instruction of the Lord. So, if you have been with me, if not, I am a proponent, I think that's the right word, of homeschooling. Love it. I'm really excited to continue. I have a 2-year-old and a 1-year-old, so I'm not really like that deep into it. But I'm really excited to continue doing that. I think teaching our children how to have a hard work ethic is really important. Manners and being kind. There are so many things that we can teach our children and are to teach our children. But if we miss the most important thing, then everything else gets distorted. Because then they've got all of this knowledge, all of these ideas, all of these thoughts that can run rampant without the guidance, the protection, the Spirit leading them to live a godly life, to live a wise life. You know, like, there are so many people that are really smart out there that do not know God at all. There are so many people out there that are really kind, philanthropic, benevolent people that do not know God at all. There are people out there that are working really hard, making a whole bunch of money and changing the world, but do not know God at all. You see where I'm getting at? I don't just want to have a smart, kind, rich kid. like, okay, obviously those things are cool and I would like them, but I want a kid that fears the Lord over any of those other things any day. I need to remember that and pursue that, because just because I'm saying that, my actions, my words, my priorities may reveal something else and therefore create something else in my child. So I have to make sure that my words, my activities, my, you know, priorities, all of those things are saying, this is the most important thing. Just like Jesus said, like, everything hinges on loving God and loving your neighbor. Everything falls into place in that. Everything falls under the fear of the Lord when it comes to wisdom and instruction and discipline. All of that comes into under fearing the Lord. All of the good things that we could teach our children will be lost and distorted if they do not come from a heart that fears the Lord. So what does that mean? Obviously, well, not obviously. There are some people that think that, you know, fearing the Lord is like, oh my gosh, I don't want him around me. Like, scared fear. I have heard that the kind of fear that the Bible is talking about is a reverent kind of fear. And I agree with the reverence. I agree even sometimes with the, like, ooh, I'm a little scared, like, he can hurt me kind of fear. I think there's a good balance of the healthy both. But I want to add something to that thought of fearing the Lord, just based off of what we learned last week when we were talking about how, as wives, we are to submit to our husbands. And we submit to them, and we respect them, and our respect for them, are holding them in high regard, you know, respecting their position and respecting their authority. In doing that, then we submit to them. We say, I acknowledge that you are my head, so I will come under you. I believe that is an example of fear, like holy biblical fear. So go with me here. So we talked about how respecting our husbands is holding them in high regard, okay? We submit to them out of respect of their position and authority. We are even to submit to our husbands as unto the Lord, as the scripture says in Ephesians 5. Okay, so that means that I am supposed to submit to the Lord, because that's my example for how to submit to my husband, right? And then I am supposed to respect the Lord's position and authority, which is how I learn how to respect my husband's position and authority. And so I respect my husband, I revere God, I revere my husband, I fear God, I fear my husband. Now, I don't think there is a scripture that says, wives, fear your husbands. It says respect them, it says submit to them. But continuing with that thought of, I'm holding your position, like, I acknowledge your position, basically. I acknowledge who you are in my life. You are my husband. You are my leader. You are my God. You are my Lord. If we see God as our Lord, we will respect him, his position and authority over our lives. Which is interesting, because Sarah in Genesis calls Abraham, who is her husband, lowercase l, Lord. The same way we are modeling of this relationship with our husbands is the same thing that we've learned from God. He is God. He's in charge over me. I am to listen to him. He's my husband. He's in charge over me. I am to listen to him. What's interesting about this is that God has also created another, like, paradigm of submission and authority by giving children to parents and parents to children. Children look at their parents, they should at least, and say, they're in charge. they're in charge over me, I am to listen to them. So here are some things that we can teach our children about how to fear the Lord. One, we can teach our children what God's position is. God is the creator. God is Lord. God is love. God is all present, all knowing. God is God. He is the highest God, the most worthy God. Like, he's the one that created you. He is currently sustaining you. He is your savior. Like, showing them that who God is and God's position over all things, that he holds things in his hands, that he has a plan for things, that he has a will, that he does things according to his will, shows them that God has a high position. When scripture says he is the God of all gods, the Lord of all lords, he is the highest. Oh, okay. Position. He's in heaven, we're on earth. Heaven is his throne room and earth is his footstool. That's definitely a visual of his position. But then also his authority. Showing them stories in scripture where God has the final authority. What he says goes. In the Garden of Eden, they disobeyed his command. They got kicked out of the garden. Authority. We can go through everybody, but I'm thinking big stories right now. We can go to Moses and the Israelites. Okay, Pharaoh didn't want to let God's people go. Okay, he didn't listen. All of those plagues was God's authority. God has authority in judgment, but God also has authority in grace. Going to Jesus and just looking at the cross and all of God's authority right there. He could orchestrate something so vile to be so beautifully wonderful to save sinners. God has the authority to grant us salvation. Okay? God's position, he's over all things. God's authority, he has power to give salvation. He has power to condemn. And then we teach our children how to respect and submit. And we can teach them how to respect and submit by teaching them how to respect and submit to us as in our authority and position over them. That I am your parent. God has put me as your parent. You are to listen to me. letting your no mean no and your yes mean yes. So that they know, okay, my mom and my dad, they are the authority. Like, they have a higher position over me. Okay. And then, hopefully, in your marriage, they'll see, oh, my mom and my dad has a higher position over mom. She listens to him. Interesting. Okay. Now, scripture says dad and Jesus. Jesus is over dad. And dad is to listen to Jesus. And God is over Jesus. And Jesus is to listen to God. And God is over us all. We are to listen to him. Wow, all of those levels of position and authority will teach your children, you know, about respect and submission. And then also, you can teach them by being an example. But they can see your respect and submission not only to your husband, to God, to any other leader that is over you. Obviously, we know that actions speak louder than words at times. You can tell your kids one thing and do another, and they will pick up on the lack of consistency. Can I say it like that? So obviously we want to teach them with our words, but we need to show them with our lives. But then also, I think the third thing that we can do is hold God's word in high regard. Because God's word is the tangible thing that we have of him right here, right now, that will never change. And that will practically teach your children that we as a family fear the Lord because God's word says this, so we're going to do this. As a family, we are all going to do this. So, we want to teach our children what God's position is. We want to teach our children what God's authority is. And we can teach our children how to respect and submit by teaching them how to respect and submit to us as their parents, showing them through our lives and how we submit and respect our husbands and the Lord and other leaders, but then also holding God's word in high regard so they can see us all as a family saying, we fear God. His word says this. This is his position. This is his authority. We acknowledge it, and we're going to submit to it. As a family, they're going to see mom doing it, they're going to see dad doing it, and then they're going to hear mom and dad talking about it. And then they also have to listen to mom and dad. So they've got all of these examples in word, in deed, in action, training them in every way, training them in every way how to fear the Lord. Can I pray over you? Father, I thank you for who you are, and I thank you so much that you have given us your word. Thank you that you truly have not that you have not left us as orphans. You've given us your word, you've given us your spirit, you've given us each other. You've given us minds that can think and just understand things. But most importantly, you've given us your grace, God, because without your grace, we cannot do any of this. We struggle personally with submission and respect with you, with our husbands, with other leaders in general. But you haven't, you called us to love you, and we love you. And we want to teach our children how to love you. And we want to teach our children how to fear you. And we want to fear you, God. Forgive us for the ways that we've gotten distracted and forgotten the point. Bring us back to what the point is. We don't want to miss it. So we thank you. We love you. And we need you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you liked today's episode, please subscribe. If you loved it, please share. If you gotta have it, please write a review. I truly would love to hear what you have to say. And if you want more, tune in next week because we're going to talk more about how to love your children. But until then, I will leave you with 1 Peter 1:2. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ rest on you and your families. I love you.